Disrespect will take you places you can't get to from here. Disrespect entertains with a look at the challenges and sometimes the successes of people with disabilities who have taken from them or are denied the full choice of possibilities to affect for the better their own lives or the lives of those above them. Disrespect introduces Natalie Charette, who's been on the system, is a domestic violence counselor, a trauma counselor, and a former counselor to developmentally challenged children. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You and I were at a meeting together where the city presented the provincial program, which is supplanting back to school and winter clothing, wasn't
it? Winter clothing allowance, yep.
For children. I understand you've already taken it to your clients. What's the initial reaction of the clients to this program so that we can look at it from their point of view?
Well, clients, their initial emotion was shock.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to meet the needs of their children when they return to school?
Mm-hmm. Without the lump sums.
What they're planning to do is extend additional income over the course of the year, and then the clients become responsible in the September-November time when it's return to school to maintain that finance for the back-to-school allowance as well as the winter clothing allowance. That means school supplies, school bags, winter clothing, snow pants, shoes, and boots.
A few hundred bucks,
definitely.
Yeah. I think anybody who's on a fixed income provided by the province understands that it's difficult to save on that income. What's your client's perspective of having now to save on that income?
Well, because it's a new program, clients are just becoming aware of it now.
Okay.
So the awareness is not fully out there as to what the client's plans to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when we did speak to the ministry at that meeting, mm-hmm. they didn't have a response. They didn't know about any programs for clients, any additional savings plans.
Did they seem to be aware that it might be difficult to save on a below poverty level income for lump sum expenses only 2 or 3 months away?
Well, they had discussed their intentions to expand the money and let the clients be responsible on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't seem aware about the effects of that transition.
Yeah.
It was only at that meeting that they tend to have become aware.
So they're regarding it as a matter of discipline rather than a matter of a shortage of resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is how your clients responded to it, is that it's a matter of a shortage of resources.
Yeah.
What were the other benefits? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the impact as well of basic needs right now is increasing. Food costs is increasing.
Guaranteed.
Traveling costs,
is increasing.
Inflation. They didn't even take into consideration housing costs are increasing over the years.
Yeah.
4% every year, a landlord has the right to increase. By 4%, the landlord has the right to increase their rent, which when you add all these changes
That's
that a
lot.
Person may go through, it becomes very hard for a client to make ends meet, no matter how hard the effort that they're putting in, the amount of budgeting that they do, they're still coming up short. We all see that with the gas influx. People are having to change their driving habits. There's not...
Change their jobs if necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because needs aren't being met, and the government is really having a difficult time recognizing those changes.
Yeah. You've painted a picture of a government that's introduced a program. The allowance increases over the years. I don't understand why the allowance is phased in. If it's insufficient now,
mm-hmm.
and the future allowance is deemed to be a lot more, why isn't the starting allowance more? That was one thing I had problem with at the meeting, was this grandiose phase-in plan. What was it, over 3 years?
2011.
Okay.
It would be finalized by 2011. And again,
but the withdrawals start right away, and yeah. they're not phased in.
Yeah, and I don't understand why they're taking that. If they know that they want to issue that amount of money to clients, issue it all at one year versus expanding over the course of 11 years.
Yeah, or if they were going to withhold, say 4% as an inflation allowance, which will probably be low this mm-hmm. year, then issue the program minus twice 4% or something. But they're phasing it in at quite a low rate compared to the final rate, was my impression.
It does start out at a very low rate. When they were doing the figures and comparing the numbers, which is a bunch of jargon when they're doing that, the clients only end up, I believe, depending on your family type. If you're a family of a parent, single parent plus one child, I think you only end up with about $27 above what your normal check would have been.
Oh, okay.
It's not by much, and it's very different between the family type. If you're a family plus two children, you mm-hmm. might get a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But then there's a difference as well as for 13-year-old children, they get less money. I believe it's by $13 they get a lesser amount of money.
Okay. So there's a dividing line at 13?
I believe 13 is the dividing line.
Okay.
But it's a dynamic of a family that deciphers how much money the family is going to get.
Yeah, I don't know who decided that 13-year-olds are less expensive to raise than 12-year-olds.
Well, you think the amount of costs they're going to graduate soon at that age. They have friends that they need to socialize with.
They're still
the cost for the clothes is more, and they're wearing down their clothes a lot more at that age.
Mm-hmm. They eat a lot more.
They eat a lot more, definitely. Feeding a 13-year-old boy versus feeding a 7-year-old boy, there's a much difference. Mm-hmm. You know, and same with girls. And with the cost of food increasing, it's just a double whammy for a client.
Was there any indication at the meeting? I didn't get the sense that there was any indication that this plan was up for a trial period or a review or possible future mm-hmm. modifications. I got the sense that it was in the government's mind, it was a done deal.
Yeah, it was a solid done deal. When we were meeting there, I asked them if there's anything that we could do. And their statement, I believe, was... we're administrators, and we're just providing the information of what the other people have decided. So they're just administering the plans
what
that have
been given.
Put into place.
Yeah. No perception of the administrator's job as providing mm-hmm. feedback or accommodating evaluation by the clients or even the people between the administrators and the clients, which would be you, right?
Yeah.
No sense of that.
No, they are very...
Are they afraid of administering these programs and offering some flexibility that people might come back and name the very thing that they're afraid of, that there's not enough money or it's ill thought out? That's always the impression I get when somebody delivers an authoritarian statement that this is what you get and that's all you get. It's our first offer, it's our final offer, there's no other offer. Yeah. Take it or leave it.
That's very much how they delivered the information was it was direct. This is what's happening, and you have to take this information back to your clients and support them whatever way mm-hmm. they need the support. But the agencies that were there were saying, well, this is impacting our work, it's increasing our workload, and it's a Band-Aid service. It's not really solution focused.
You spoke up during the meeting of the need to save these lump sums, and were there any supports to save for these lump sums? And the response that I heard from the presenters was that they weren't aware of any supports. It was almost as if they didn't know enough to say there weren't any supports, mm-hmm. but they really hadn't. It hadn't occurred to them up till then, is the kindest thing you could say?
Yeah. They didn't have an answer to us.
Yeah.
One, I don't think they're directly from our community. I think they might be from elsewhere, but they weren't directly from our community.
You mean from out of Hamilton?
I think they're from out of Hamilton. It's an assumption.
Yeah.
But they weren't able to say, well, this is a program that's offered to help clients save, or check into a local bank and see if there's any savings plans.
Or we've partnered with this agency and they are offering a program to save. Yeah.
Or telling us the amounts that clients can save, because apparently clients can save an amount.
You've heard this, have you?
I've heard this through my coworkers.
So you can designate an amount of your check to be saved?
Not designating an amount, but clients are allowed to maintain a certain amount of money within their bank accounts.
Oh, yes. That's true. I think it's about $500 on Ontario Works, and I think it's $5,000 on ODSP.
Yeah. And that's
but
that's
you'll get hassled if you have $5,000 on ODSP. They'll want to know where you got it and what you're doing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to get onto Ontario Works, you have to show that you require the services and that you have zero income.
Yeah.
Which, how can you have any savings if you're having to prove that you have no income and that there's $0 in your account? It doesn't make much.
You started from zero.
Yeah. It doesn't make much room for saving.
I suppose the only thing you could do would be to approach the bank and see if they still offer a forced saving program. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember those from 40 years ago, that the banks, if you asked them, would take a certain amount out of your account and put it in savings. I don't see today's banks with that attitude, maybe a credit union would offer a service like that.
You can transfer money from one account to another account on a regular basis. So even if it's just $5 on a monthly basis, say on the 20th when clients get their national child tax benefits, mm-hmm. they could put $5 away, $10 away mm-hmm. monthly into a savings account. That's okay. one option, but it's very limited. $10 can only go so far in a savings account.
Yeah, that's true.
But over time, it can increase, and it gives a client some leverage.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just as accessible as the money that doesn't go into the savings
That's
account,
right.
isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you run up short at the end of the month, you have to grit your teeth and go through on no money mm-hmm. for a week or something, or dip into that account with the belief that maybe next month will be different,
yeah.
And the month after, until you come to the time for back to school and winter clothing and realize that you spent all your savings because you didn't have enough to live on. Yeah. And the money was saved.
Yeah. And the additional piece to that is savings accounts have service charges. So if you withdraw your savings, you're then being again tacked, depending on what bank you're with.
Oh.
You're tacked on to that money.
So you almost need a trust account arrangement where the money's held in trust until an agreed date. I won't name the agency. When my disability was new, every winter I had cognitive issues because seasonal effect mm-hmm. Complicates the disability. I thought, well, it would be easier to have someone else balance my books. Mm-hmm. I'll approach the agency about a trust account. But what the agency failed to take into account was that once a year the check comes early, and then I went back to the so-called trustee, the informal trustee, mm-hmm. and I said, what have you done with my bills? And they said, oh, we paid them as usual when the check comes in. I said, the check comes in at the end of the month. You're supposed to pay them at the end of the month. This is once only, you know. And they said, oh, well, as far as we know, we're supposed to pay the bills when the check comes in. So the creditors mm-hmm. Regarded that as two payments in the same period. And they, you know, came around to January and they said, well, where's the payment on your bill?
Right.
We had the same experience with a trustee, an executor, who took the money from my mother's estate when she died. And instead of saving it to administer the estate, handed it off to a junior, I imagine, who said, oh, here's all these bills and here's all this money. Why don't we just pay these bills? And then it came down to, oh, we have no money to administer the estate. You're the beneficiaries. What do you want to do now? Mm-hmm. Even a formal arrangement seems to be very poorly managed.
Yeah.
You've thought a little bit about it, you said. Did you come up with any thoughts on how such a system might be facilitated to help people cope with this new income program and lack of lump sum support when it's needed the most?
I think there's different ways of approaching. Each client would have their own perspective that works with them best.
Mm-hmm.
Budgeting could be one, mm-hmm. but certainly a savings program, as we had discussed earlier, mm-hmm. Or a trustee. Mm-hmm. Being client-focused and client-specific, meeting mm-hmm. the client's need in their own direction. Mm-hmm. But also, possibly, if the government could introduce, say, Ontario Works or ODSP, introduce a program for savings that clients can access if they're willing to access it. Maybe put a condition where they learn some budgeting skills while saving some money, but maybe they could even match that to help them get off the system.
That's an interesting thought. I know an agency that is helping clients save for specific goals, the Welcome Inn. Mm-hmm. On 40 Wood Street, the difficulty they're having is, and I haven't talked to them about it in the last month or so, the difficulty they're having is that OW and ODSP tend to regard the matching funds that the Welcome Inn puts with client savings as income mm-hmm. and tend to subtract it from the benefit. So the matching funds are no benefit to the client. They're just a drain on the Welcome Inn and a savings for the government. There seems to be, with the government, a lack of will to recognize mm-hmm. the importance of saving.
Yeah. Maybe it's about time that the Ontario Works and ODSP accept the Welcome as a recognizable agency that's providing additional money, and that they don't tack on that money and they don't factor it into their income.
How could that be presented to them other than the welcome in? Who would be a credible backer, supporter, ally of someone like the welcome in to do that? Or do you think that's everybody's job?
I think
speak
that's
up?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
We're a community. We need to be community focused. Our neighbors, our friends, any person that we come into contact with could have financial difficulties.
Yeah.
And it becomes a matter of...
Well, look at the auto workers now.
Yep. That's right. There's a number of people who need support, and it becomes an issue that everyone needs to face. Mm-hmm. The increase in the community, increase in the cost of living, mm-hmm. Is everybody's issue. And it's unfair to let one person not get the services that they need. So I think as a community, we should all support each other. Maybe make an effort, maybe do a petition, advocating. There's lots of different ways. Being on the radio and just talking about it, getting
for
the
sure.
awareness out there.
For sure. You're listening to Disrespect. Natalie Charette tells us about the new Ontario Child Benefit, which is supposed to replace the clawback of the National Child Benefit, but seems to leave some parents only $27 a month ahead. Now for the break. Little Walter, I'm Just Your Fool. Mentioned the transitional program, and I'd forgotten that there was a transitional program for people who either didn't qualify or had disqualified themselves, and you said that's also linked to people who weren't eligible due to immigration status as well?
If a person is in process of getting their immigration status, it's going to take them a while. It presents as a barrier.
Okay.
Because you can't necessarily get on Ontario Works until you get some clearance,
mm-hmm.
which then... It makes it very hard for a client. It sets up a barrier, basically, mm-hmm. for a client to maintain those finances. So we have to, when we're looking at the full scale of the Ontario Child Benefit, what is going to happen to the clients? Because if you haven't filed your taxes, because the CRA was there,
mm-hmm.
if you haven't filed your taxes, you're not getting this benefit.
Well, I remember she was pretty serious material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're already...
She didn't crack a smile the whole hour and a half or 3 hours that we were there. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're administering the program, and if you don't file with them, you don't get the program. But you do get maybe the transitional benefit if you can file for that.
If you can get on Ontario Works, because Ontario Works is the one who is issuing the OTB, or Ontario Transitional Benefit.
Oh, I see.
And with that, you can only obtain that money for 4 months.
The maximum is
4 months. Plus, when you do get your OCB, you have to pay that money back right away.
Okay.
So whatever amount, say, you've earned or received from the CRA for mm-hmm. For OW mm-hmm. for the 4 months, mm-hmm. as soon as the CRA provides you your money from OCB, mm-hmm. Ontario Child Benefit, you then automatically have to pay that money on your OW check. It's automatically taken off.
Okay.
So you might then receive a check of, say, $20 versus a full check.
Yeah.
Because and they claimed it as not being an overpayment because they're not allowing an overpayment. They're just taking the money right away.
Yeah. That seemed a small mercy.
Yeah.
Okay. So the transitional benefit for people who don't file or who fail to inform
the CRA,
which is the same as filing, basically, because your address goes on your
Yeah,
on your
you have to file your taxes in order to receive the OCB.
Yeah.
In term, the Ontario Works or ODSP will issue the Ontario Transitional Benefit. Mm-hmm. It makes it pretty difficult for a client because you're then having to pay that money back right away, which means you might not be able to pay your rent. Mm-hmm. You might not be able to purchase food for the month, mm-hmm. which impacts our services, impacts mm-hmm. our food banks, mm-hmm. impacts shelter use, mm-hmm. Cooking, what do you call them? Where you can go into the community and they have hot meal programs.
Yeah. I've been in crisis at tax time and forgone filing taxes for a year,
yeah.
only to file for 2 years the following year. And I don't know how you would manage if you were in crisis with kids and needed to file for this benefit. It seems the CCRA has... in accepting the administration of this and saving the provincial government some money, seems to have taken its payoff as a tyranny on the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is not a welcome thing at that income level and with those burdens. Yeah, but that's how it works.
Yeah, it's another barrier. It's only been 2 months, 3 months since they've introduced this transition.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if there are any clients out there who are recognizing...
Who haven't filed, maybe.
Who haven't filed and are recognizing the situation and have had difficulties mm-hmm. with this.
So now they haven't got their check and they have to get into a free program to help prepare their check, which is always a notice period to get in for a free program.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to cope for a while.
Yeah.
A few weeks at the best, a couple months at the worst, without any kind of benefit.
Yeah. And being that it's Canada Day right now, lots of clients aren't going to be able to access services because services aren't open.
Yeah. And so, when they are open, they'll be jammed.
Yeah.
Because they're working on basically a half week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you going to go with the administering these benefits now? we have the end of summer not too far away. School
is out now.
Yeah, and school back to school will be coming, and then shortly after that, winter clothing will be coming right on top of Christmas. What are we going to do in the meantime?
Well, in the meantime, I hope that all clients get an opportunity to look at budgeting for themselves and are prepared to put some money aside for the coming September-November time.
Okay.
That way they do have some stability for that time of year, mm-hmm. but also to access a local food bank or a local clothing, secondhand clothing shop to obtain winter clothing.
Yeah.
There are a lot of services in the Hamilton area where they can contact me, and I can certainly provide links to agencies that provide that support.
Oh, good.
But also just a general awareness that this is coming in the September-November time. So even if there are people who want to do a clothing drive mm-hmm. for winter clothing, I know a lot of schools do that.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in hats, mitts, and gloves to the school, and they get donated to a local organization. But also recognizing that the children that are going to those schools could also be the ones who are not having those supplies. So we want to make sure the kids that are there.
Oh, I see. If you gather clothes at your school, don't discount your school as a beneficiary of the gathered clothes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good idea.
There are a number of counselors who do budgeting counseling.
For low-income people.
For low-income. It's a matter of if you are seeking counseling or seeking support, bringing that issue forward and saying, I need support in this matter.
Okay.
I do know Catholic Family Services is still acting. They're still providing that service.
If you're engaging an agency, I want a charitable background because I'm dealing with an agency that starts with the assumption that there's nothing immediate and tangible in it for them so that it won't compromise the service that mm-hmm. they give me. And then when I'm looking for an advisor, I want someone who isn't a former banker mm-hmm. or involved in the credit industry in a way that relates to wealth, because they won't be dealing with any wealth with me. Mm-hmm. And it's probably an inappropriate perspective for which to approach budgeting for people. Even someone who sets up at home as a financial advisor will advertise that they're a whiz at helping people with budgeting, but they deal with people who own homes. They deal with people who have monthly paychecks or biweekly paychecks from work. They don't deal with people who are living on less money than is required to live. Yeah. And that's a very special perspective. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if we could get an endorsement for that kind of help.
Yeah.
I'll ask the people who are listening to the broadcast to, if they have suggestions or if they have links to agencies, to email to the broadcast at dialogue@inbox.com. That's dialogue@inbox.com. We'll forward the ideas on to you?
Certainly, yeah. I want to start some sort of group where we get together and work towards this as a community goal, as a community effort, to get clients to move towards having either some sort of savings, having budget managing skills under their belt, to make our community a safer, healthier place to live.
Mm-hmm. I would like to be involved in the group with you as well, mm-hmm. and anybody else who would like to be involved, even if you don't know someone else who would help manage it. Numbers will give this strength, and again, they should email me, or they should email you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you want to give an email address for them?
It's charette_nat@hotmail.com.
Okay.
I can spell it.
Charette?
That's correct.
_nat@hotmail.com. So people who are interested in such a group, working with such a group, could contact you.
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. And you can contact me if you get such a group together. So I'm sure there would be some government funding would come with it, and I'm sure every agency can use the funding too. So if they're really willing to act in good faith on behalf of benefit recipients, I don't see why it shouldn't happen, that they mm-hmm. get the responsibility and that the people get the benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you wanted to say about this since we started talking about it? This new program, this shortage of lump sum support, the need for a savings program, and trying to move all this weight before the fall.
I just want to make sure that people are aware that the students, young children who are in school, that the school board is aware of this issue.
Oh, yeah.
Catholic, French school board, and public school board.
Yeah.
That they're aware of this issue, and that if they would like to come forward and provide some help for the students that are there, but also recognizing if a student does need those needs, help them out as best as possible. Provide them with a backpack. Provide them with school supplies that are needed.
There is a program, isn't there? Isn't there a backpack program where the people stuff backpacks coming up in the fall?
Yes. At the meeting, they did mention that.
Oh, it was a school board program?
I don't know if it's a school board program. No. I believe it was a parent-teacher association that was doing that. So
okay.
Not necessarily run by the board.
So keep your ear to the ground as a parent then.
Yeah, as a parent, or even a parent starting it in their own school.
Yeah, don't discount the power of individual responsibility for these needs.
Yeah.
That's true. It's a good idea. Well, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for talking it over.
Yeah.
I hope we'll see some changes as a result, hopefully by the fall.
Yeah, all before right. the fall.
Before the fall. All right. Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Natalie Charette discuss the ups and downs of the Ontario Child Benefit, which is supposed to restore the clawback of the National Child Benefit, but leaves some parents only $27 a month ahead. Stay with us after the break. Coming up, Cather Balloony and our interview with him in Montreal, and the almost weekly exploration of topics up for grabs for coming airings of disrespect. For the break, Little Walter, My Babe.
My can't stand no cheating, my baby. Oh yeah, she don't stand no cheating, my baby. Oh yeah, she don't stand no cheating. She don't stand none of that midnight creeping, my baby. True little baby, my baby. My baby, I know she'd love me, my baby. Oh yes, I know she'd love me, my baby. Oh yes, I know she'd love me. She don't do nothing but kiss and hug me, my baby. True little baby, my baby.
As Disrespect explores the issues in the news this week for potential future interviews, this is a report that has been released by the Ontario Association of Food Banks. We have contacted Adam Spence, the Executive Director of the Ontario Association of Food Banks, and he's agreed to do an interview. Lori Monsebraten, social justice reporter in The Star. The federal government must increase employment insurance benefits and expand eligibility for Ontarians. The Ontario government should index social assistance benefits and the minimum wage and bring in a low-income energy strategy that helps households pay heating costs and reduce demand. The province should also reinstate the $73 back-to-school allowance and $111 winter clothing allowance to help families on welfare and disability benefits face the rising cost of living this fall. The Toronto Star, Thursday, June the 26th. Pensioners need help. The Canadian Institute of Actuaries is calling on the federal and provincial government to hold a national summit to discuss the country's ailing pension system. Summits needed to address critical issues such as the decline of defined benefit pension plans and develop a roadmap for legislative and regulatory reform, Claude Lamoureux, a special advisor to the Institute, said yesterday. We may have read this one to you. While the money that you're getting is declining, welfare mistakes hit $22 million. Two dozen former welfare recipients were overpaid a whopping $2.3 million, money the city has little hope of fully recovering. In total, the city's tab, Hamilton's tab, for overpayments to Ontario Works clients has grown to $22 million over two decades. The payments, 20% from the city and 80% from the province, cover more than 12,000 former clients, and it's a growing problem for cities across Ontario. What I see here is a system that's broken, said Councillor Bernie Morelli. A recent audit found severe flaws in how Hamilton is trying to recoup overpayments. It also highlighted issues with the provincial database that make it difficult for the city to get a handle on the problem. Joanne Priel, General Manager of Community Services, said, "The city must get better at collecting what it is owed. This is a priority. This is people's tax dollars." Hey, Joanne, what about getting better at spending them? If you want to hear more about this, dialogue at inbox.com, D-I-A, log@inbox.com. Rights group calls for moratorium on tasers. We don't know enough, Amnesty says, after man jolted in Norfolk, Ontario. Jeffrey Mareel, 36, died after Ontario Provincial Police responded to a disturbance in the town of Norfolk, Ontario, near Simcoe. Some 21 people have died in Canada after being shocked by police armed with the device. Amnesty International Canada reiterated its call for a temporary moratorium on the stun guns pending an independent review of possible risks. Mario had a history of drug use and lost his job at a flower nursery 2 weeks ago. His father, Noel Mareel, said in an interview, "Studies have shown that taser strikes on vulnerable people, including those with drug addictions, have to be further examined," said Amnesty spokesperson Hillary Holmes. "It raises concerns about continuing to use the device when we just don't know enough," said Holmes. Dying girl's treatment stalled at airport. It was a nightmare for Miranda Garanflo. She spent 5 days stranded in Vancouver trying in vain to get her daughter to China for urgent medical treatment. The Kentucky woman and her 5-year-old daughter, Haley, were supposed to stop in Vancouver International for only an hour on Monday on their way to China to receive stem cell treatment on Tuesday for Haley, who has Batten disease, a rare and fatal genetic disorder. Instead, they were barred from boarding a plane 3 times. Yesterday, Mrs. Garanflo and Haley left on a special medical flight home paid for by their medical insurance. Back in Kentucky, they'll have to set up the treatment appointment all over again. She was barred from boarding 3 flights, first because she was congested, a common symptom of her disease, her mother said, then because medical staff said she needed oxygen supply, and then because she had several seizures and doctors won't clear her for the Beijing flight. Mrs. Garanflo said the Beijing hospital had rescheduled her daughter's appointment, but now that she's back in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, she doesn't know when she'll be able to set another date. A third of heart surgery deaths are preventable. This from the June 10th Spectator. Less than 2% of patients who undergo cardiac bypass die in hospital after their surgery. About 1/3 of these fatalities, however, an Ontario study suggests could have been prevented. Researchers found that 111 of 347 randomly selected cases that resulted in death could potentially have been avoided. Study published in the American Heart Association journal Circulation was undertaken by the Institute for Clinical Evaluative Studies to determine quality of patient care and how it might be improved. The co-author, a cardiac surgeon at Toronto General Hospital, said most of the preventable deaths were related to problems that occurred either during surgery or while patients were recovering in intensive care, and many were attributed to lapses in established hospital procedures. Doesn't that sound familiar? Again, if you're interested, dialogue, dialog@inbox.com. Let us know. We'll cover it. Inmates' death preventable. Sue Bailey, the Canadian Press. Instead of crucial health support, Ashley Smith, 19, got mounting prison time for outbursts that ultimately led to her apparent suicide at the Grand Valley Institution for Women in Kitchener, Ontario. Said correctional investigator Howard Sapers, "This troubling case illustrates what can go wrong in federal corrections. I've concluded that if different decisions had been taken and if different routes had been pursued, there's every reason to believe she'd still be alive today." Sapers gave his final report to Public Safety Minister Stockwell Day. It won't be fully released while criminal charges proceed. 3 guards and a supervisor were fired and charged with criminal negligence causing death. Ashley Smith's death ended in psychological breakdown and death in a cell where she slept on a concrete slab was often heavily shackled. Correctional investigator Howard Sapers made 16 recommendations to avoid such mistakes in future, calls that have fallen on deaf federal ears before. The recommendations include upholding correctional policy, respect for the law in federal prisons, improvements to medical emergency response, and more oversight of inmate isolation. Ottawa is not compelled to act on his non-binding advice. And perhaps the most disturbing judgment of the year, the Supreme Court of Canada erased a landmark wrongful dismissal award made to an employee of Honda Canada, Kevin Keyes, who was fired after years of struggling with chronic fatigue syndrome. His struggle with his illness played havoc with his work attendance at the plant in Allison, Ontario. Co-workers took to mocking his constant absenteeism with cruel cartoons and resentful ridicule. In May 2000, Mr. Keyes was fired after he refused to attend a medical assessment. Trial Judge McIsaac found that the company grossly misrepresented doctors' advice and conclusions that he ought to return to work, and that it went further offside when it tried to force him to see the company doctor, who felt chronic fatigue syndrome was a sham. They fired Mr. Keyes amid what Judge McIsaac termed a litany of acts of discrimination and harassment. The vote was 7-2 in the court, and writing in dissent, Mr. Justice Maurice Fish and Mr. Justice Louis Lebel said that the evidence supports the trial judge's view that Honda was unfairly skeptical of Mr. Keyes' condition and was seeking to justify its skepticism. There is ample evidence to support the trial judge's conclusion that Honda acted in bad faith. Well, at radioforall.net, you'll see a series of our interviews as this case progressed with the lawyer involved, Hugh Scher of Scher DeAngelis, whose $610,000 in legal fees have been billed, apparently, to Mr. Keyes, who's now unemployed and unwell. We'll try and get Hugh on the line for a concluding review of the case and its tragic outcome. Dialogue at inbox.com, D-I-A-L-O-G, at inbox.com. Now our interview with Cutter Baluni, blind immigrant waiting for status in Canada.
Hey, Cutter. Last time I spoke to you, you hurt everywhere.
I said like my hair.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. But that's, you know.
Okay.
I think I came old. That's it.
Happens to everybody.
Yeah, but like, you know, because now it's like, can you imagine? I'm doing my exercise bike 2 days, 2 times a day, and I feel sore, man.
Doing what 2 times a day? Exercise.
My bike.
Oh, okay.
My bike 2 times a day. But today I had only 1 time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because I couldn't do this morning, and yeah, I was tired, and yeah.
Okay. Yeah? What's the weather like in Montreal?
Yeah, good question. You know, the weather is so good.
Oh, good. Yeah,
you know.
Okay. All right.
You know, it's sunny days and sunny day, and it's not hot, it's not very warm, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like warm, like cold, it's not hot. And the middle, you know?
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. And, you know, nobody depressed on the weather, like, sounds good.
No, that's right. How was the strategy meeting tonight? Did you get to see your lawyer?
Yeah, he signed just like briefly. He said to me, yeah, Cutter, I want to send the fire, and I signed it for him, some people.
Yeah.
And that's it.
What about the next application?
That's what he's talking about.
Okay.
I said, but like for another application, yeah, he won't do that. I don't know how he can do. Yeah, he said he won't send it. I don't know. Maybe he wants to send it tomorrow, after tomorrow. No idea.
Oh, he does want to send it.
Yeah, he wants to
send it. And he's going to send you a paper about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we see what's going to be happening.
Yeah, okay. How's it going with the songs for the CD? You wrote them, but I gathered Challenge was arranging them, eh? After writing them?
I have to see somebody the 5th and 6th, maybe next week.
Yeah.
Not this week.
Yeah.
Friday or Sunday. I don't know.
Yeah.
Friday or Sunday.
You're going to talk?
His production music.
His what?
His production music. He's like project.
Professional?
Yeah.
Okay.
Professional music, and he has studio, and he's distributor.
Okay.
Sometimes his distributor, and he wants to come to visit me here and like a small meeting.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, he want to see how he can push the CD and the market.
So this is a small independent label, eh?
Yeah, but I'm thinking it's big in Montreal. I don't know what's the name, but everybody said to me this is big in Montreal.
Oh, Montreal is a big place.
Yeah, but this guy is big in Montreal.
Yeah, so if he's big in Montreal, he's big in a big place. That's good.
My friend told me, because he's the guy, he's one who listened to my music and he loved it.
Good.
Yeah.
He listened to your first CD?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
good.
He won't push the first CD. He won't push it.
Really?
He won't push it to the market, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I hope I can do with him the second CD, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It's so long. 2 years and a half, and 2 years and 7 months going to be soon. Then.
Yeah. This is the 31st month, isn't it?
Yeah, it's too much, man.
Yeah, I know. I know. You were also working on a book. Have you worked on the book at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
I know, you got your hands full. You got a lot to do.
Like more than a month, I didn't do nothing.
Okay.
I feel like really tired and really sick.
Yeah?
Yeah. I feel like, yeah. It's
a lot of stress, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I have to... When you feel tired, just you have to quit, you know? That's why I feel like I have to quit something. Oh, yeah, for diabetic. You know that...
Are you diabetic?
I'm diabetic, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, yeah, no, it's especially not good for diabetics.
Yeah, no, I'm diabetic. And, like, yeah, type 2.
Yeah.
Diabetic, yeah.
Adult onset, right?
Huh?
Adult onset. You became a diabetic when you were an adult?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like a few years ago. Yeah.
My dad was adult onset diabetic.
Yeah?
You will laugh, though. He loved his cookies and his ice cream. Yeah.
I love ice cream, but, like, what can I do?
Yeah.
I have to. Everybody loves cookies. Yeah. Everyone loves sweet things.
Yeah. You have a glucose tablets or chews, don't you? For when you're exercising?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have, how can I say? You know, when I'm bike, when I'm exercising, I feel like more relaxed.
Yeah. Sure. But I mean, if you get a low blood sugar on the bike, you have something to take, right?
Of course.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, of course. I'm always, like, when I'm biking, after that, I took my shower and I ate something.
Well,
I don't want to keep myself, you know.
Should have something for when you're on the bike, too, because if you got sudden low blood sugar, you could pass out.
I hope one day.
No.
No, my dad,
I say this because my dad died on a treadmill.
Yeah?
Yeah. We don't know what happened because we told the doctors it didn't matter. He was dead. But he had stopped exercising for... 6 months or something, because there was a fire at the gym where he exercised. And he went to a new gym, and he started back on the treadmill, and he collapsed. And he was too proud to wear his bracelet that said he was diabetic, so nobody knew what was wrong. And they took him to the hospital, and they brought him around, but not long, and he died. If there hadn't been a fire, if the doctors had known, you know.
Yeah, I see. When he died, how old was he?
He would have been about 70.
At 70?
Yeah, a little more, yeah.
Yeah. Like myself, like my situation now, I feel like it's better if I die. And like no more I see what's happened to me, you know?
Nah, I know that feeling. I know that feeling, but it's not the right feeling.
Yeah, it's a bad feeling, but like I know that.
Yeah.
But like you see like men.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, even the doctor said when my dad died, they said he was very fit. Well, that didn't do him much good because he didn't look after his diabetes. It sounds like you're very conscientious about your diabetes.
Yeah, and like be blind and be diabetic and be...
Yeah.
Yeah, and be like between 4 hours, no good, can go outside for 31 months.
Yeah. Didn't you say there was a church courtyard or something that you could go into?
What you said?
When you're going for the barbecue, you said there...
Just next to the balcony. It's not like...
Yeah.
It's like space. But I never go there by myself.
Yeah.
No, I can't take any walk by myself. I like... And only in the summertime, sometimes I'm going with friends.
Okay.
Just like... You know, just next to the balcony, it's like a few mirrors. It's not like five, you know?
Yeah.
It's like... Maybe like 20 feet, 30 feet.
Okay.
But it's big. Like it's parking. It's parking, but I never go because like I don't know the place by myself.
Yeah. I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
What else is new?
Nothing. Just today, my friend, she told me, you know, she talked to me about, I don't know. She heard on radio and the television, like, talking about Canada.
Oh, yeah, Canada Day yesterday. I almost called you, but I thought, no, you don't need to hear from someone celebrating Canada Day while you're waiting to hear if you're going to be a Canadian or not. This is not right.
I hope this one day.
Yeah. Oh, one day you will celebrate Canada Day too. And Diane Finley will be at home somewhere. Growing old herself.
Yeah. but you know what, just like, this is not good for Canada. Today is talking about, like, somebody, like, the critical said, like, Canada's, like, no more good welcome.
Who said that?
I don't know, somebody for, I don't know.
Okay, you heard somebody say that, yeah?
Yeah, I said, like, then the life, I don't know, that's what he said. It said, like, the critical, like, talking about the conservative party.
Oh.
Yeah, it said, like, years now.
Yeah.
They came down, Canada very down, or like, I don't know, because Canada, there was like the, like, population, like, live, like, has good life.
Yeah.
Now, like, no more.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, I realized listening to the Canada Day broadcast on the CBC, I realized that next year my show falls on Canada Day. And I have a year to prepare for a Canada Day show that's a little bit different, maybe.
You think the house is closed now?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I feel, well, the house is closed now, like, I feel like, wow, that's too much. You have to wait for the decision.
Oh, no, the ministry isn't closed. You won't have to wait for your decision, but what you will have to wait for is any further action. There won't be any further action till the House resumes, probably. But there might be a decision. The ministry doesn't close for the summer.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, just the House. So the people who make decisions to raid your church or to change their policy, they take the summer off. But the ministry who administers policy, who will review your new application, they work all summer, just like everybody else. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to wait.
Okay.
And I hope you get a good decision.
Oh, yeah. I wait. I'm tired to wait.
Don't kid yourself. I will mention you on next Canada Day. When I do the show. Oh, yeah. I told my the fellow who lives across the hall from me used to be a radio announcer, and he's always has a smart remark. And I said to him, gee, I have a year to prepare for Canada Day show. And he says, what are you going to do? Are you going to diss Canada? I said, how could I not? I said, but it's got to be upbeat in the end. I said, because it is Canada Day. I mean, even if the government is screwing everything up, I said, we're still here. There's got to be something upbeat in that. If it were bad enough, we wouldn't be here, you know. I said, so there's got to be something nice to say. Even after you spend an hour or two telling people about everything that's wrong, you still have to say, well, you know, but I'm still here, and the reason I'm still here is a good one.
Yeah, that's true.
So I have a year to work that one out. I'm looking forward to it, though. Somebody today asked me, he said, so what are you doing? I met somebody today I hadn't seen for 10 years. He says, what are you doing? I said, oh, I had a radio show for 10 years. He says, do you like it? I said, well, it's a volunteer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like it. He says, but, I mean, you really enjoy your work. He says, that's an important thing. I said, oh, yeah, I get to stick my thumb in the government's eye every week. Sure, I enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
When's your next show? Third week, isn't it? 18th, okay.
Yeah.
5 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 o'clock and...
CKUT.
I have some articles going to be like in big and the Gazette.
Oh, yeah? They're coming out around then?
Yeah, going to be like maybe for the next few days they're talking about my radio show.
I'll look it up on the web and I'll keep track. You think it's coming out right away, eh? The Gazette?
Maybe just a few days.
Okay, so maybe the weekend or later.
Yeah, just a few days.
I'll look for them.
Yeah.
I'll look for them. That's a good thing.
I do want to talk about my radio show. And...
Well, you never know who else might pick them up and run them on their newspaper, too.
Huh?
Well, if one newspaper runs it, you never know what other newspaper might see the article and say, yeah, we want to print this same article.
Yeah.
That happens a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, because my radio show here in Montreal came very big, very big.
Good. Okay. Well, you're a city landmark already.
It became very big, believe me, and I got emails from everywhere across Canada.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, you want to be too visible to mess with. The more people watching, the less can happen. This is not a bad thing.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you want to leave this till next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for talking tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. See you next week.
All right. For sure.
Take care.
Good night. Bye.
That's all for Disrespect this week. We're going out with Willie T. In the Beginning. You can now listen to the show wherever you're near the internet. Disrespect is streamed live at http://cfmu.mcmaster.ca. Disrespect is archived at www.radioforall.net. That's the number 4, not the word, radioforall.net. You can find the shows under its name, Disrespect. Tune in at Showtime, Thursdays at noon, 93.3 FM, CFMU, to see if something more topical hasn't displaced the show that we planned. Disrespect is digitally edited from live telephone and studio interviews.